Stocks and golden geese, otherwise known as Fee-Fi-Fo-Vember. Jerry Douglas always liked to celebrate Dobrovember. And there may be a few more as well. 412-200-5975 if you would like to share a song. Would you believe we have one more? Do we have one more song that mentions November? We do. From Claudia Schmidt.
There's a drunken pilot buzzing the blood red moon. If he feels at all like me, he's hoping the day comes soon. It's a night when sleep is just too much like death. I can taste the next nightmare riding sour on my breath. Myself, the time would not roll on. Change scares me sleepless, so I just hold real still. It's the starting that stops me. Who knows what a fear can kill. That our heart would not lie. So I plant my kisses in the air, and they blow where they will. Maybe warm a stranger's cheek, or make a runner stand still. A struggle to stay free. Now I wish all those unclaimed kisses would just sail home to me. Ooh. My long dead grandma left some treasures behind. Found some words in her hand, felt them burn across time. She wrote, how comes love? It comes unsought, comes unsent. How goes love? It was not love that went. Silent and drawn, believing in my stillness, the time would not roll on, roll on, roll on.
Claudia Schmidt at the Saturday Light Brigade. And hello to Dick, who mentions that the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum is finally open once again in Gibsonia, and therefore it is Chuo Vember is part of, well, there's a lot of railroads like the B&O Vember. We could use that. But the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum, once again, open. And you can find out more at WPMRM.org. Thanks for the fun today and more fun to come. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, loudspeaker.fm Fort Collins, Colorado, and slbradio.org/radio.
Child, I've got my doubts. You can't see the forest for the trees. And gal, now don't get me wrong. It's not that I knock, it is just that I am not in the market for a girl who wants to love only me. Yes, and I ain't saying you ain't pretty. I'm not ready for any person, place or thing to try and pull the reins in on me. So goodbye, I will leave and I see no sense. For this crying and grieving, we'll both live a lot longer if you live without me. Child, I've got my doubts. You can't see the forest for the trees. And gal, don't get me wrong. It's not that I knock, it is just that I am not in the market for a girl who wants to love only me. Yes, and I ain't saying you ain't pretty. Thing to try and pull the reins in on me. So goodbye, I will leave and I see no sense. For this crying and grieving, we'll both live a lot longer if you live without.
Greenbrier Boys, and Different Drum from 1966. And that song was written by Michael Nesmith in 1965, and the first recording was the one you just heard. And then a year later, The Stone Ponies with Linda Ronstadt recorded it, and up the charts it went. They're both good versions. Michael Nesmith has recorded it too, but I think just because it's different, I really enjoy hearing the one that we just played.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's SPACIAL.com.
Last week, we crashed the Carnegies with interviews from people at RAD, including Shannon Musgrave, the Regional Asset District. Also, the library and the museums, all celebrating the 125th anniversary of Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Museums of Oakland. You can hear those interviews again, as well as last week's segments with singer-songwriter Alex Hamburger, Chris Cox from Pittsburgh Opera, and poet Natalie Homer by going to neighborhoodvoices.org. This week, our Youth Express segment features two parts. In about 30 minutes, we will have a poet joining us, as I think this is the last of the Allegheny County Youth Poet Ambassadors that will feature this poet 15 from Pittsburgh Alderdice. But first, we have a podcast that I haven't talked about nearly enough. It's produced here. It's called Remaking Tomorrow. And each week, Ryan Rizdeski and Greg Baer interview thought leaders in the world of education, and the conversations are fascinating. We produced that podcast here, and we also were able to sort of take it over for a little bit with a youth takeover of the Remaking Tomorrow podcast. We're going to play a segment of it. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you look for podcasts at Remaking Tomorrow. And here you'll hear youth following the same format that Greg and Ryan do each week, but you'll hear their own spin on it. They introduce themselves better than I would. Here they are.
You're listening to a youth takeover edition of the Remaking Tomorrow podcast, where teens host the program and welcome peer guests.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of learning. I'm DeAndre Josie, and I'm here with Christine Berry.
This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning practices in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
On today's episode, we'll be talking with three youth guests about how students should be supported as they learn, both today and in the future. To start, let's meet with our guests.
My name is Camille. I'm going into the eighth grade, and I'm from Croyopolis, PA.
Hi, my name is Ezra. I'm a rising senior, and I'm from Marshall Shadlin.
Hi, my name is Dev. I'm a rising senior, and I go to Shadyside Academy.
So today we will be talking about peer-to-peer learning in tutoring sessions, conversations, or collaborative work. To start, can anyone think of a time when you learned something better from a peer than you had from an adult?
For me, during online learning, since like we all were like friends, right? We all had each other's numbers. When we got something difficult, we would all like shoot off questions in a group chat, asking each other how they would approach it or like what sites they found helpful. So instead of asking your teacher, because that could be sometimes awkward, it would be easier to ask your friends for help.
I remember being in school and online too, where teachers go sort of fast sometimes because they have a lot of students that they have to help. So, you know, I've never really been good at math, so being able to like sit next to my friends and whenever we're going over a topic, the teacher might go through it and you might not want to ask her because it might be embarrassing or might be something where she went over it so many times, you know, you feel like, well, I shouldn't really be asking this question. So just being able to like talk to your friends and get clarification and having them explain it to you, it's a lot less intimidating. So it makes it a lot easier to sort of learn a topic, I think.
Over quarantine, I got into photography, and Ezra also is into photography. And so a lot of the time, we would just go out and we'd learn a lot just by doing. I think that could definitely help with an adult, but I think just being comfortable with each other made it so that we could learn more.
I think one of the few times that I learned better from a peer is basically mental health. I love learning about people's mindsets. I love learning what people are able to think. And everyone has a different opinion nowadays, but not everyone's going to know everything at a certain point in time. And you just got to find the right person for what you want to learn about.
A lot of times with mental health, it's very intimidating to talk to adults, and it's such a prevalent topic. Where I can remember a lot of people coming to me or going to other people, being able to talk about mental health, there's a lot of relatability there. Things we're dealing with, whether it be the pandemic or whatever it may be. So I think peer-to-peer learning can happen anywhere when you have a good sense of who your friends are and what they're good at.
Peer-to-peer learning could take place anywhere. You might not even know this person that is your peer. Say you're downtown, you're looking for a specific place, and you could just ask somebody randomly and they'll be like, oh, you take a left and you take a right and you'll see this street and you keep going. And you've learned something, you've learned where to go from this person that honestly you didn't know but still can be considered as your peer. So it could take place from anyone and anywhere.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, a lot of the time, especially when we're considering our generation, peer-to-peer learning happens when you're not even in person with somebody, over the phone, through social media of any kind of form like that. That's a resource that we have that our parents and their parents never had. That really gives us a chance to communicate with each other. And I think that over the course of the pandemic, having everybody stay inside and not really be able to be with each other, we learned how useful it is to still have that connection.
Could you say possibly like an adult, a teacher, or someone that you recently just met who happens to be older than you, could they be considered a peer if they have helped you in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I think so, because honestly, if I'm downtown looking for a place to go, I'm not going to find some kid who's 15, 16. I'm just going to ask literally anybody who's around. So it doesn't really matter how old or how young they are, as long as you have some type of connection or learn something from them.
Anybody older can definitely be a peer. And a useful resource for any kind of counseling that you'd need. I remember back in freshman year, the seniors really stepped up, especially on the swim team. It's a lot when it comes from somebody who's older than you, who's had more experience, who has more wisdom. I feel like it really builds a connection between the two of you. And so I definitely think that anybody older than you, it goes anyway.
It was kind of funny, you know, today I was talking to my boss, and so I work with like a marketing company. And I was like, you know, Jordan, how do you stay so young? Because, you know, you're 31, you're sort of getting to that point where like social media and things might not be as relevant to you. Like, I feel like I can go to him and a lot of other people who I work with, even though they're older, they have a good understanding of the things that I'm going through, whether it be, you know, working with social media, understanding social media and how that works. Or like, even though they're older, I think the main thing is relatability. If you can relate to someone, it's easier to work with them. Like, my sister is 26, but my sister, I can go to her and talk to her about anything. It feels like she's one of my best friends, so I can just easily chop it up with her and talk to her, even though she's older than me. Just I can relate to her, she can relate to me.
Do you think peer-to-peer learning can benefit more from someone you currently already know or for someone that you do not know?
Based on my personal experience, being the person who's teaching somebody, it's easier to teach somebody that you don't know because you can give them your honest opinion no matter how nice or how harsh it is. Whereas, say it's your friend, if your advice could be sensitive to something that you know has happened to them, you might dial back on the advice even if they may need to know this advice or they may need to hear the advice. So I think it's easier to talk to a stranger or teach a stranger than it is to teach somebody that you know.
For me, in terms of teaching others, I do it best when the people that I'm helping, I know about them, I know what they like, I know what they don't like or how they may react to something. And for learning, I don't think it matters. I think it depends on the person and it doesn't really matter to me if I know them or not.
I think especially in this day and age, who do you learn a lot from? You're Googling things. A lot of the times you're learning from very random people, whether maybe through a YouTube video. But when someone has relevant information, it's helpful. But then again, I think on a person-to-person basis, it's nice when I know someone. Just because, like Dev said, You know, when you know someone, you might know how they learn, what they're like, so you might know what's best for them.
The basis of a relationship, knowing if you're closer to somebody, cannot just be whether you're friends, but if they have common interests. For instance, I'm on the drum line at my school, the high school drum line, and I'm in eighth grade. So they're all seniors, juniors. So we didn't know each other, but we all had something common, which was we all played the drums. So I think that knowing somebody is not based off of if you're friends, but if you have a common interest, because you'll always find somebody with a common interest.
The other day, I thought about this for the first time. Now, in this day and age, there's a lot of interaction between younger kids and older 30, 40 grown adults through social media, through platforms like Instagram or Facebook, even TikTok. And that's kind of like the first time that that's really been able to happen on a wide scale level. I'm interested to see how social media itself will affect our generation as we become adults and parents.
That is a very good and valid idea. Rinding back to a previous statement that was made about how you can easily talk with your boss, or your older sister, about certain things, would you then consider like those types of talks, them mentoring towards you, or would you consider them a peer-to-peer learning?
I think me and my sister can be peers. I think me and my sister are peers because there's times where my sister has come to me and she's asked advice. She's talked to me about things, and I try to give her advice and talk about things. But at the same time, like you said, she's older than me. She's wiser than me. She's been through a lot of situations I've been through. And so she sort of, like you said, is my mentor. Same with my boss. With the field I work in, I try to have a mentality of like, I don't want to go in prideful. Even with everything that I have done, I might think I'm the best in the world. But it's good to take a step back and be mentored because ultimately these people know a lot more than you. They've been in your place. And so I would agree. Yeah, my boss is sort of like my mentor because he can give me advice and things like that. Even though I guess I never viewed it that way, we're close on a level where like I sort of see my boss as someone I can make jokes with and I can be cool with. So I sort of see him as a friend in a way.
Does anyone else have anything else to add with just being friends with someone who may be older than you and you see them kind of like peer-to-peer relationship, but they're also mentoring you at the same time?
When I think of when I'm talking to somebody who is older than me, it's kind of like a note to file moment. Sure, they're talking, you're hearing them, right? But you'll pick out these little bits of information that kind of just stick with you. So it's not, with me, a mentor kind of situation, because with a mentor, I'd probably be taking notes, taking like it's a key detail kind of thing. But if I'm just talking to somebody older than me, for instance, my parents or my aunt or my grandparents, I think it's just more like I'm listening to you, but I'm also picking up slight things that may be useful to me in my future life. So it's more of like a casual conversation with bits of advice worked in.
Do you think peer-to-peer learning has techniques making some way easier for others to learn?
I think one is humility and patience. The other day, my grandma called me, and she's like, Ezra, we took these nice photos last night at dinner. I want to send them to my friend because she wants to make a collage for our family. I was like, oh, that's great. And she's like, so can you explain to me how to send a text message with a photo? I'm like, what? Like, she's had a phone for a year, but she's never sent a text message with a photo. And so while I'm over the phone, which is sort of hard, I'm trying to explain to her without any visual of how to send a text message with a photo in it. And it was very frustrating because, you know, say that had been one of my friends who was my age or something, I might, like, I wouldn't get mad at them. I'd be like, bro, come on. Like, what are you doing? But I think when it came to, you know, my grandma, or just, I guess my grandma's someone, you know, who's ignorant to something, doesn't quite understand it, I had to take a step back. I'm like, I have to take my time here. Is a difficult situation. I can relate to that. I understand that. And so I want to just make sure to have humility and have patience and just take my time to help them understand something, even if, you know, it might be a little bit aggravating or annoying to me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you made, especially about having patience, especially when you're the teacher and whatever you're teaching is something that you've been doing for a while or something that you're pretty good at. It's very easy to quickly assume that this thing is easy for me. It's not that difficult to figure out, so this person should be figuring this thing out. But being able to have the self-awareness to realize that you also were once at that point that they were in is, I think, something that everybody should have, and it's extremely useful when you're the learner and when you're the teacher.
Back to the topic of relatability, right? say you're teaching somebody math, right? And you may not have anything common with this person, but if you know a little bit about what they're interested, for instance, let's say they're into basketball, right? So you could tie in their interest to how you're going to teach them to make it easier. For instance, again, with Drumline, last week we had a pregame show and we had to make a M formation. And this kid who was next to me would move up to the spot next to me, but he was supposed to be four steps behind me. So every single time in practice, I would just like tell him, like everybody would be like, you have to move back, you have to move back. So at the end of practice, I put him aside and I was like, okay, remember when we do this, remember four steps and then stop till we start moving. Then in the show, when we showed our families, he remembered that. I heard him counting like one, two, three, four, stop. If you could just connect with them in a more like non-teaching way, I think it's easier to learn or to receive advice.
These are all really good skills that you all pointed out. I don't think many people realize that it takes different skills to teach people, regardless of what it is. It's kind of hard to teach everyone the same way. So as a follow-up question to that, would you say that you have used any of these skills just as you being a student yourself to maybe even an adult and like shown them, hey, like I see what it is you're doing, but take it from a perspective of someone younger who is actually learning this at this time and moment and shown it to them how you think it might be easier to present it?
My dad, he's checked my math homework, and math, I would just rush through math, like just get it done. Or when the teachers would teach us tactics, I would just keep those tactics in mind and think about that. So when my dad would check my homework, he would like go through this long thing of this is how I learned it. And I was like, Dad, you know, if you just do it this way, it's so much easier. And he was like, no, I'm just going to do it my way. So at the end, he finally tries it my way. He's like, huh. Wish I had known that back in my day. I'm like, see, if you had just listened to me in the first place, maybe you would have saved yourself the energy and the time. So I think that sometimes adults do need a younger person's perspective.
I can think of one example from school. I guess I can think about the same thing about patience and humility, being able to apply it to adults as well. Because I think one thing, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that whether it be my parents or other adults, they're people. When you're young, you see adults sort of as these people who they know everything. They're all wise, all knowing, and perfect. So this is something that didn't happen to me, but, you know, at my school, I had a teacher, and she was very busy, and she was juggling four classes, and I believe she just had a kid, and she was so stressed. And she was giving kids these, like, big packets because she was just so stressed and just had so much to juggle. Where it's like, I think from the perspective of a student, you might get mad at her. You're like, you're my teacher. You need to be more supportive. You need to help me. But then when you look at her instead of as an adult and as a teacher, but as a person, you might be able to see, well, you're really busy and you're super stressed, just as I am. And so I'm going to try to take my time with you a little bit more because I see that you're a person who's going through struggles and that I need to be, you know, patient with you.
Those are all really good examples. We're going to move on to kind of a conclusion. Why do you think peer-to-peer learning is effective and why do you think it's important?
I think that it's important because having the ability to learn from each other and connect with each other is an extremely useful skill, but it's also natural for us as Homo sapiens, extremely social creatures by nature. Connecting with each other, being able to grow off of each other is just an extremely useful skill to have and really pushes each other forwards.
You relate to people your age. You relate to your peers, whether it be through common interests, whether it be through being in a similar age group. I think whenever you're able to relate to someone, it makes it a lot easier because they understand you in a way where they can help you learn in a way that's best fit for you.
Peer-to-peer learning is very effective because not only does it help you learn, but it helps you connect with a whole bunch of different people. Different personalities, different interests. And it helps people connect on a different level than just an adult who you've known or you do know, who you know how they think or relatively how they think. So connecting with a peer or peer-to-peer learning is so much different because you honestly know that you have something in common or think the same way, but they also may have a totally different perspective that you would not have known, because now everybody has like their own solidified opinion. Whereas I think with adults or someone who's older than you, you know, it's kind of like the right way, and there's just the right way without like considering broader aspects of anything else.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that coming from all three of you. So I want to say thank you to the three of you for all joining us today. This Youth Takeover edition of Remaking Tomorrow podcast is a collaboration of Remake Learning, Knowledge Works, and SLB Radio Productions. Opinions solely reflect those of the individual speaking. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning, a Pittsburgh-based network of people and organizations that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning practices in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change. Learn more at remakelearning.org.
Subscribe to the Remaking Tomorrow podcast wherever you look for podcasts. We have a youth poet joining us in a few moments. Here's a request for Megan McDonough. Thanks for being here as part of the Saturday Light Brigade.
And when October goes, the snow begins to fly above the smoky roofs. I watch the planes go by, the children running home beneath a twilight sky. When I was one of them, and when October goes, the same old dream appears, and I am in your arms to share the happy years. I turn my head away to hide the helpless tears. Oh, how I hate to see it doesn't matter much how old I grow. I hate to see
Megan McDonough, When October Goes, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Alexis Thompson, and Chad Green this morning. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including Radio Garden, TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and our own slbradio.org.
Well, I want six crap shooters to be my pulpit. Well, now that you've heard my story, let's have another round of booze. And if anyone should ever ask you, tell them I got the St. James Infirmary blues. Well, I went down to the St. James Infirmary, saw my baby lying there, stretched out on a long white table, so young, so
is a group called the River Bones Band here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I'm really glad that we have another poet with us today. Had a number of inquiries about the song that we closed the last half hour with, which is an indication that I should have probably mentioned it more clearly. Megan McDonough, and the song is called When October Goes, and it's from a great compilation album called Autumn Love Songs, When October Goes. And thank Jim in Blackridge, who is the person who requested it this morning. Now, we have a 15-year-old student from Pittsburgh, Alderdice, with us, who is one of the Allegheny County Youth Poet Ambassadors for Alphabet City at the City of Asylum, a radical impact project in collaboration with our friends at Allegheny Regional Asset District. His name is Echo Apaku Dakwa, and I'm really happy to welcome him. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about some of the things you like to do in addition to poetry.
I like to run a long distance track. I to prepare for the Junior Paralympics hosted by Move United. I also like to program in Python to make games.
How did you learn Python? That's something.
I learned on YouTube.
Really? That's That's amazing. And you run competitively, it sounds
yes.
like. How did poetry become part of your life?
Well, I was introduced to it in school around elementary school. And then around 2020, I started to want to express how I feel and some of the challenges I have. So I started to write poetry since it was also fun and creative.
Was it hard to start?
No, it wasn't. I mean, after a few tries, I became better at it.
What about sharing it? Was that something that came easily to you once you thought you completed a poem? What was it like to share it with another person?
Well, it was not too hard. At first, what I did is I learned about the City of Asylum. So I submitted a poem to become the poet laureate. And then after I read it to people.
That's wonderful. And it's amazing. You're talented in a lot of ways. And it's quite an honor to be selected as a poet laureate and poet ambassador for City of Asylum. Echo has three poems that he's going to share. Would you like to share one of them now?
Yes. My first poem is Disable and Able. And so, disability can be an ability. An ability to thrive, to show who you are, to show that this one thing doesn't define you. It's an opportunity to show the world that everyone is unique, that no one could look at you and judge you. To show the world that your special talent, to show that you have an impact that no one else does. No one is like you. No one has your talent. You can thrive. You are special. You are amazing. You are enough. Your disability can be your ability to change the world.
Echo Apoko, Apoko Dakwa. It's beautiful. 15, Pittsburgh Alderdice. I enjoyed every bit of that poem.
Thanks.
One line I really liked were the three words, "You are enough." That's a very thoughtful way of expressing the value of all human beings. That is beyond words. I can't react to that strongly. enough. Who's here with you today?
My mom is here, and my younger brother is here.
And his name?
Is Kofi.
What grade are you in?
I'm in 9th grade.
I know it's early. Have you thought about what you might like to do once you just are starting high school now, but what you might like to do when you graduate?
I haven't. I'm not too sure, but something I'm considering is being a stock investor.
Interesting. What gave you that interest in stocks?
Well, I am very analytical. I love math, and I think I'd have a talent in stocks.
That's remarkable. I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not sure what your answer will be. Have you looked into Bitcoin and the whole, you know, what that's all about?
Not much. I mean, I don't understand the cryptocurrency too much.
Yeah, the reason I asked is you mentioned Python and studying it, and I'm certainly not looking to invest or recommending investing in Bitcoin or anything else, but I was trying to understand the whole blockchain, how it works, how cryptocurrency works, and I have some work to do to understand that. I don't fully understand it. But as somebody who is analytical, as you say, that takes a lot of talent to try to invest.
Thanks.
Is there another poem you'd like to share?
Yes. I'll share Not a Failure. So it is hard to look at your successes while you focus on your failure. When you look and say you can't do something. When you think you're bad at it. When you say you'll never try it again. But when you fail, it makes your success so much sweeter. When you look back and think through your mistakes, when you know exactly what not to do, when the messes of your past lead to the successes of your future. So look at your failure from the past. Don't dismiss them. Learn from them and use them to inspire and build your dreams.
Have you read your poetry aloud to audiences much, or share, because you deliver these really beautifully and they're inspirational?
I haven't shared my poetry to others much.
I'm honored that you're doing it today. Thank you. Do you do cross-country, you were mentioning?
Yes, I do. I do it for university. A few years ago, and I trained for the triathlon in San Diego that CAF hosts, Challenge Athletes Foundation.
Have you been there yet to do it?
Yes, actually, last October, I went there, and two other times every year.
Do you, the triathlon is running and biking? Or what are
running, biking, and swimming. Right now, I'm doing a relay, so the swimming and the running.
I was thinking for cross country, that's a long time to run, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you think about when you're running?
Well, I like to look at the where I'm running. Sometimes I get really nice views just to admire the nature as I'm running along different trails.
I was curious because, again, given your gift in creating poetry and how analytical you are, I would imagine there would be a lot going through your mind as you run. There's, anytime I've done anything like that, I'm always like, I can't let my mind go blank. There's a lot I'm thinking about, and it sounds like that's the case for you too.
Yes.
I'd like to have you share one more poem, but before you do, is there anything else you would like people to know or that you would like to say?
Well, I'd like to thank Challenge Athletes Foundation, City of Asylum, River City, and all of the dice teachers and the Colfax teachers, Friendship Circle, and Move United Junior National Paralympics for supporting me.
I'm glad I asked that question. I'm glad that not only that you're grateful for that support, but you have a world of support around you. I think you're supporting other people, too, by your writing and just through the contemplation and thinking that you've done in what you're writing. What's the next, or there's one more poem you brought, and tell me about it.
Yeah, it's named They Will Know Me.
They Will Know Me.
Yes. First day of the school year. New teachers, new students, new grade. I wonder, how will they react when I open my laptop, or when I speak, or when I ask for help to cut a piece of paper? Such a simple task that are like mountains in my way. The thoughts run through my mind. What do they think? As I look down on Taipei while they speak. I don't write with a pen because these hands don't write what I asked them to. When I speak, do they really not understand? Are they tagging me as a lady, incapable, unable? What I do know is that at the end of the year, they will know me. My talent, my skill, my passion, my drive, oh, they will know me. And they will know that this disability doesn't define me.
You are more than enough. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Echo Apoko Dakwa, 15.
Yes.
Taylor Alderdice.
We have cleared off the table the leftover sakes. Wash the dishes and put them away. I have told you a story and tucked you in tight at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sails to carry you to sleep over the midnight sea, I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May it keep you good company. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country. You can travel any country where your heart beats, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one, the special one, and the only measure. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone. There are girls who grow up strong and bold. There are boys quiet and kind. Some race on ahead, some follow behind, some go in their own way and time. Some women love women, some men love men, some raise children, some never do. You can dream all the day, never reaching the end of everything possible for you. Don't be rattled by names, by taunts, by games, but seek out spirits true. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. Sing it with us. You can travel any country where your heart beats, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one, and the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. The love you leave behind when you're done.
Thank you very much. That's Fred Small, Everything Possible, and Echo Apaku Dakwa was the poet you heard. And I hope his words were as inspirational to you as they were to me and everybody else here in the studio this morning. What an amazing person. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green, Alexis Thompson, and Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, Radio Phoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM. Audio Now at area code 515-605-9542. And tune in, Streama, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and other internet radio stations and streaming services, all available on your audio device of choice.
Walking down the street, and suddenly you meet a pair of brown eyes dancing along. Up go the lights, out go the flags, on come the dancers, bang goes the drum, and you're in love. And the show has begun. Then you're hand in hand, and louder than the band, your happy heart starts singing a song. And up go the lights, out go the flags, on come the dancers, bang goes the drum, and you're in love. And the show has begun. The world's a stage, the moon's a spotlight in the skies, your heart's applauding, and the curtain started to rise. Suddenly you kiss, and nothing quite like this has ever happened to you before. As up go the lights, out go the flags, on come the dancers, bang goes the drum, and you're in love. And the show has begun. Spotlight in the skies, your heart's applauding, and the curtain started to rise. Suddenly you kiss, and nothing quite like this has ever happened to you before. As up go the lights, out go the flags, on come the dancers, bang goes the drum, and you're in love.